Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from the first chapter of the fourth gospel, John chapter 1 and the first five verses. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John records, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Very appreciative of you and your presence, your attendance here as we begin a new month of study. The last quarter of the year, it seems like we were still just in May or June, I think, last week, but somehow here we are in October. Nonetheless, glad that you are here. For our visitors, once you know you're our welcome, honored guest, we'd love for you to come back. We'd extend that same invitation, those listening by way of radio. We'd love for you to be a visitor at our assembly sometime, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, here for the Arlington Church of Christ. There was a man on up in age and had a bout of illness, and they thought it was going to take a turn for the worse, and he's sitting at home and he's sleeping, and he wakes up and in a daze he said, "Is my wife here?" And she says, "Yes, honey, I'm right here." And he says, "Are my kids here?" And they all say, "Yes, daddy, we're right here." He said, "What about my brothers and my nieces and nephews?" And the whole room says, "Yes, we are all here." And he sits up and he says, "Then why in the world is the kitchen light on?" Okay, some of you have that same relative in your family, I see. October has five Sundays. Lord willing, I want us to spend these five Sundays in the 11 o'clock hour, beginning a series today, culminating at the end of the month, talking about the Word. This is a series from the book of John, and you will see this title card with an open Bible there. I don't know if it's actually open to John or not, but we'll use that as our kind of theme thought. I want us to look at what John says. John is an interesting book. Of the four gospel accounts, it's evident from secular history, John was the last one to be written. There's about 169, 170 distinct events in the life of Christ. And we could go through and we could do a harmony of the gospels, and we could say, well, this one's in Matthew and this one's in Mark and Luke and John. Of them, 120 are exclusive to John. John's like he picks up the details that Matthew, Mark, and Luke just didn't record. See, John spends an entire book talking about the deity of Christ, and I'll get into that more in a moment. But I want us to talk about five different things about the Word. And the first one, let's go to the beginning. That's our lesson for today. The Word, the beginning. As we begin our lesson text, John 1, 1 through 5, which is the lesson text for four of the five lessons, you'll notice that it's very fitting, since we're calling this lesson the beginning by way of introduction, that John's gospel, it very similar to the way that the Bible begins. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1 and 1. In Genesis 1:1, we're introduced to God. In John 1:1, we're introduced to God's Son. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. That's a name. That's not just a noun. That's a name. Was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Three capital W's. All three referencing an actual being. Now we learn, verse 2, the same was with God in the beginning. Now we can infer that from Genesis chapter 1, you read through the whole thing, God talks about things in plurality. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, that word for God is actually plural. But it doesn't mean plural like God's multiple, but three in one. So the Godhead was there in the beginning that created the heaven and the earth. But what I find interesting about our lesson text, as Genesis begins, the first thing He creates is light. You remember that? He spoke and light just appeared. Well, here in John says the light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. I see a lot of parallels between the beginning of the Bible and the beginning of John's gospel account. As I mentioned, this lesson will serve as the beginning of five to see how John depicts Jesus, because he does such a great job. John wrote to prove the deity of Christ. Now here's what I find interesting. John, a beautiful gospel, 21 chapters, and he spends 21 chapters proving that. Mark tells it to you in the first verse of his gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then Mark moves on, because Mark has more ground he wants to cover than to try to prove that Jesus is the Son of God, because Mark wrote to Romans, and the Romans really don't care whether he's the Son of God or not. So he has to show them by the works that he did that he's deity. In one verse, Mark says it, and John spends 21 chapters. Well, that means that John goes just a little bit deeper there, doesn't he? But you know, today is a new beginning, day of new beginnings. I want you to imagine for just a moment where you were a month ago. What's changed in the last month? What about the last year? What's changed in the last year? Maybe you've gotten a new job. Maybe you've gotten a new haircut. You've got a new car. You've got a new gadget at home. You've got a new home that you live in. It's a day of new beginnings. As I preach this lesson, there are people within the sound of my voice who are not Christians this very hour. They have not been baptized for the remission of their sins. Today could be your day of new beginnings as you put off that old man and take on that new life in Christ. There are other people who are in the sound of my voice who came to the church building this morning, or they're listening on radio, and they've got a big old sack of burdens on their back. Now, you can't see it because it's imaginary. But they're lugging life, and that could be you. You could be carrying a whole bunch of burdens on your back. Today might be your new beginning of laying aside those burdens, being freed from the cares of the world. New beginnings. I can't go back and change the past. I can't go back and relive my highest moments. I can't, thankfully, go back and relive my lowest moments. But I can start today and live the rest of my life. Today could be your day of new beginnings. And I want us to talk about that with the beginning. Let's open God's Word. Three things about the Word. Number one, from John 1, 1 through 5, I learn that the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Well, let's define that. What does it mean? It means having an infinite duration. Now, you and I, at least the I part of that, and you maybe as well, we struggle with the idea of an infinite duration because everything in this life that you and I deal with revolves around time to some degree or another. Because I have this little fancy thing on my arm that tells me the time, and you may have one as well, or you may have a pocket watch on a chain, or you've got a phone, but you have something where at any point in your day you can know about what time it is. And we judge our TV shows by time and our movies and how long it's going to take to do this, and how long do we have to eat, and how long do I have to work, and how long do I have to sleep. And I've been going here for so many years, and I've lived here for so many years. You and I have a hard time with eternal, something that has an infinite duration. It really has no start nor end. It also means everlasting. When Jesus says, receive eternal damnation if you are unobedient, it's a never-ending period of condemnation to you. Obviously, it's over relating to eternity. Eternity, that great time beyond time, where time doesn't exist, where they count not time by years, as we often sing in one of our songs. Eternal is characterized, or can be, by abiding in fellowship with God. For instance, the Revised Standard Version renders Mark 10 and verse 17 something like of with the rich young ruler. He says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he wanted to know, in order to live with God in eternity, what must he either add to his life? What must he take away? What must he maintain? But he knew that he could do things to have eternal life. Well, dear friends, you and I can do the same. Now, he was told to straighten up and fly right. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And you and I must do the same. We must get rid of things in our life. He lacked one thing. He liked his possessions too much. One thing kept him out. When I think about eternal, though, it has no short shelf life. I am truly amazed at the modern state of science and technology, how you can go buy what they call non-perishable foods, and you pick up something on the shelf, and right now it might have an expiration date for 2026, 2027, and you go, that's impressive. That's going to stay in that same shape. Now, when it's not good, it's when you have one of those at your house, and you know it expired in like 2015, because that means you've had it for quite some time, right? But we buy certain things, stable or shelf-stable foods. We buy those for people in emergencies. You're not going to buy somebody who's just lost their house a rotisserie chicken, because that's not really going to be very beneficial for them. But you might buy them a can of Beanie Weenies, right? That's going to last a little bit longer, or Spam if you're of that persuasion. I'm not. I want you to run a reference with me as we move on. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. I want you to know about the word being eternal is that it endures forever. It has no expiration date, if you will. 1 Peter 1, the last verse of the first chapter. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. See, number one, we're talking about how the word is eternal. And Peter backs that thought up for us, does he not? That the word of God, it endures forever. Endureth forever, ETH, habitual, continual action. It has a continual action of abiding forever. It will stay always. You know, people all throughout history have sought their hardest and have even died trying to get rid of God's word. They have had Bible burnings. And they have tried to kill people. William Tyndale, who we owe a great credit to, although not a member of the Lord's Church, but he sought to have an English version of the Bible, and he was burned at the stake for doing so. But in doing so, he put the Bible in the common person's language, and we owe him a debt of gratitude. So you can't snuff out the Word of God. You can't make it of no effect anymore. The Word is eternal. But why then does John point back to the creation? We've already noted the parallels, because that's when our time began. You ever thought about that? There was no need to keep time before Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Time in the beginning. Creator, God created matter. Heaven, air, earth, or vice versa, heaven and earth. All five facets of science in one verse. That's where our time begins. And our concept of time goes back to day one. You ever thought about that? That's pretty impressive. How do I know? Because the Bible says a few verses later, in the evening and the morning were the first day. And then I read about what God did on day two, and the Bible says the evening and the morning the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and God rested on the seventh. I've got the first week in all of history recorded for me. Now, the Jewish people, they kept time starting at sundown, so that's why the Bible says evening and morning were the first day, but they still used a literal 24-hour period. Now, don't fall into this trap. The world wants you to think that God created the earth, but he took millions and billions of years. Because they just can't fathom how God could create everything. Can I be honest with you? I really can't fathom how God, first off, already existed. And then he decided through his infinite wisdom, I'm going to say the word light, let there be light, and boom, light exists. I have no idea how that actually happened. But I believe the Bible. And that's what the Bible says. And I can look out in nature and I can tell you things were created in the way that the Bible says they were. But I'm going to be honest with you. How do I wrap my head around eternity? Well, I try. But if you take the Bible at face value, you'd be a whole lot better than those that try to twist it and turn it. I guarantee you that. Everything that we do goes back to the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And our world goes back to time. So, you know, we all have a beginning as well. Do you know that? We all have a beginning as well. In fact, almost every tombstone I have ever seen has two dates on it. It usually has a start date and then a dash. And then if that person's still living, thankfully there's not an end date on that one. But eventually they'll come in and put an end date. And really what's important though is what happens on that dash, right? Although I've been to places where somebody should have had an end date, and I don't know what happened, because there should have been about a 135-year-old person I saw in a tombstone, because the husband and wife, neither of them had an end date, and they were both born at the time, right after the Civil War. I don't know what happened with them, but nonetheless, I guess they forgot to etch their names on that stone. Every one of us, we have a start date. You were there, you probably don't remember it, but you had a start date. And there's going to come a time where everyone in here is going to have an end date. And you may hope that that end date is far, far on. And you may be ready for your eternal reward, and you may hope that end date is a whole lot sooner than a whole lot farther. And I hope you're ready for that. But we all have a beginning. And in life, there are a few constants, but I'll show you one. Go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse number 8. A constant in this world is Jesus. The world is wishy-washy. Because somebody in the world is going to tell you one thing, and then the next breath they're going to tell you something else, and then they're going to change their complete thought process the next day. But Jesus is not the same way. Notice Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, here's your 3 points. Number one, he was the same yesterday. Number two, he's the same today. And number three, and forever. Jesus does not change. That's echoing Malachi 3 and verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change his mind because he has set his mind, he has set his will, and he is not changing it for one person or another. So Jesus is our constant in this world. He was back in the beginning. I mentioned it a moment ago, Genesis 1, 26, 27. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, creeping thing, beast of the field. Our likeness, us, is plural. Father, Son, and Spirit, all there in the beginning. But I want you to look at John chapter 6, and we'll move to our second point. A very sad, maybe one of the saddest passages in all Scripture. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 60, Jesus has fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, probably 25,000 people. He has done other great miracles. And then they come up to him and they say, Lord, we'd like to see a miracle. I liken that to going and watching a circus and walk out and tell the ringleader, I'd really like to go see the circus. Well, you just sat there the whole time. These people didn't realize. Many of his disciples, verse 60, when they heard this, his teachings, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, his disciples murmured, he just answers them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So pretty good. He says there's going to be some people that just don't want to understand. He knew those of his followers that would turn away. But notice, from that time, here's your sad verse, verse 66. Many of his disciples went back and they walked with him no more. He said, I'm going to tell you the words of eternal life. And they said, this is too hard for us. See, Jesus is that constant. He's not going to change, but keep going. As many of them who he had just fed physically and he's tried to feed them spiritually, they leave him. He turns to the 12 and said, wilt thou also leave me? And I love Peter's confident confession. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Isn't that still true today? See, He is our constant. And He has the words of what, Peter? Bring us back to our point. Eternal life. See, the word, number one, the word is eternal. Let's move on, number two. What about the word of God? It's truth. Now, of course, Jesus is the word. But we also see that the word of God is true. So let's play our little definition game again. What is truth? Boy, that's a question that needs to be answered, doesn't it? Seems like some people have forgotten that truth exists. Defined. The real facts about something. The facts that are true. Truth is not what you want to believe on some subject. Although the world's got that one mixed up. So they're going to say, well, this is true because I want it to be. No. You may hop up and down and scream to your blue in the face, but that doesn't change the fact of what's true versus what is false or what is not true. Maybe a better way. What is true versus what is not true. True are the real facts. What is truth? I tell you what, go with me to John, if you're in John 6, we'll go over to John 8. And I love this. It's a frequently quoted verse, rightly so. But I want you to underscore something in this in your mind, maybe in your copy of the Bible as well. Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You've probably heard that before. But I want you to look at word number four in that verse. And you shall, what's that word? Know. K-N-O-W. Underscore that word. See, there are people, agnostics, one of them, who say, I know that you can't know what the Bible says. Well, hear Jesus Christ Himself, because the words are in red. Jesus Christ Himself said, I can know the truth. That tells me it is something that is attainable. And thanks be to God it is that He didn't just create this world and allow us to be born here and then not leave us with anything. But I can know the truth, and what? Knowing the truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. I flip over to John 17 and verse 17, that beautiful garden prayer that Christ utters. And you may want to make a note in your Bible when you're in John 8, 32. See chapter 17 and verse 17. And when you're in chapter 17 and verse 17, see verse or chapter 8 and verse 32. Because they work hand in hand. Notice this. As Jesus prays, He says to sanctify, which means to set apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Okay. So Jesus wants His followers to be set apart by truth. But what is truth, Jesus? Thy word is truth. So we've asked the question, what is truth? The word of God is truth. Jesus answered that. And Jesus said, I can know the truth, and that truth sets me free. 1, 2, 3. That's just as simple as that. See, the word is truth. The word of God, yes. Jesus Himself as the word. He is also truth. Go back to the beginning of John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. A key passage in understanding what this word is. This capital W in the first couple of verses. Notice what John says, John 1:14, and the word, capital W, still Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know, and this is a serious question, not facetious, do you know of anybody else that left heaven and had a human body and walked upon the face of the earth? Because I can't find another one in all the annals of history. He has to be talking about Jesus Christ. But notice John goes a little further in 1 John, that little epistle he writes. Probably right after he wrote John, if we're being quite honest. 1 John 1 and verse 1, I want you to notice here. Jesus says, that which was from the beginning, now notice, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word, capital W, of life. Four things that John says. He says, I heard it, I saw it, I looked at it, and I touched Him. And I can prove to you He exists. See, Jesus Christ is truth. Now, yes, of course, Jesus is human, just like we are. Yet at the same time, in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way we can approach the Father is through Jesus. But I want you to notice this, John 18, 36 and 37, talking with Pilate right before he was crucified. Jesus says, I came to bear witness of the truth. Notice, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, then my servants would fight, that I should be delivered to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from thence. And Pilate said, art thou then a king? And Jesus said, thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus is the truth. John 14, 6. He came to bear witness of the truth. We've already talked about in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, if you abide in the truth, you'll be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and that truth sets you free. You know, truth always wins, doesn't it? Truth always comes out in the end in court cases. People may say, well, I think I can lie and say this. Well, you might till you trip yourself up. You read about some famous court cases in history and everything. You know, the losers or the liars, I guess I should say, looks like they've got it until all of a sudden one truth comes out. And it just turned the whole court case on its head, because truth always wins. In disputes, whoever's right, that's the way to go. And I tell you what, and this is my favorite point on this one, truth always wins on the judgment day. You ever had somebody that did you wrong, where you got the shaft even though you were in the right? Every wrong will be righted on the day of judgment. And you don't have to worry. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He'll make sure things work out well for those who are faithful to Him. Now, of course, you don't want condemnation on those who are not faithful, so you pray that they will change their ways. But I just find comfort in that, knowing that if I've been wronged, I will be right one day. Let's look at number 3. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is truth. And finally, the Word of God is our light. Now, I don't think I have to define light, but if you need to, look around. You can see things that have been illuminated by light. Light is important in that it allows you and I to see things and do things that cannot be done in pure darkness. It is just amazing what all you can do with lights these days, and especially in the world of farming, how much longer you can just plow and work in the field on through the night with all those bright lights on the tractors and combines. You know, we have daylight savings time, so we get an extra hour or lose an hour, however you want to look at that. We'll get it back in a week or two, don't worry. I want you to notice John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4. I love what Jesus says. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. There's going to come a time where you and I can't work anymore. We can't labor and toil in the Lord's kingdom, so we might as well work now. We might as well sow seeds for Him here and sow seeds for Him now, for night comes when no man can work. When I think about light, Psalm 119, 105, Thy words a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. God's Word illuminates our path. Dear friends, I hate to say it, we live in a dark world today. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Normally, I don't encourage you to watch the news, but maybe watch half a second of it and you'll just see maybe just how dark this world is. What causes darkness? Well, that'd be sin, would it not? Sin, transgressing the will of God. That's what causes darkness. Go back to part of our lesson text, John 1 and verse 5. Jesus, the light, shines in darkness, but that darkness comprehends Him not. Jesus was trying to illuminate the world around Him, and the world then, not all of it wanted to believe, and the world today, not all of it still wants to believe. And I tell you right now, and I will die on this hill, that people can try to change the Word of God, people will try to change the law of the land, and they'll try to make whatever sinful behavior they want acceptable. Homosexuality, for instance. Abortion, for instance, the consumption of alcohol or other substances that harm the body, for instance. You may try to change the law of the land, but I'm going to tell you now, God's Word never changes. God's word's not going to say, well, the government said I can now marry a man, so it must be okay. It's not how this works. That's a hill I'll die on. You better believe it. God's word will not change, no matter what the government wants it to say. It never has, and it never will. See, we live in a dark world. Two passages, the lesson is yours. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. What about us today? Because we live in this dark world. There's no doubt about it. I wish we didn't, but there's no place else to live. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Notice here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Four good descriptions of Christians. That you should show forth the praise out of Him, watch this, that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He said, you were living in darkness, but He's called you out of it. And He's put you in His marvelous light. That's the first one. So what do? John chapter 12, 35 and 36. John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you, referring to Himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goes. You have the light, believe the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide Himself from them. Jesus says to walk in the light, not in the darkness, and then to continue in the light. So the Word of God is light. That's a lot just about the beginning. Just imagine where else our study will take us. But I got a question for you. Are you stumbling around in the dark? Are you living a life of sin, tripping over yourself every which way you go? Are you having fun not seeing where you're going? I like being in the daylight a whole lot more than I like being at night. I see better in the day. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. You were children of darkness, been called out of that to live as children of light. Your choice. But keep in mind, John 1, 5, we've already read it twice, three times, that the darkness does not always understand the light. But I got a forecast to close out our lesson. You ready for today's forecast? God reigns and the sun shines. Pretty good forecast, isn't it? That sun just keeps on shining and God's always in control. Oh, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, walking in the light. Whose feet are you following this morning? 1 John 1, 7, walk in the light as He is in the light. His blood continues to cleanse us from all sins. He is the light. That only applies to Christians. I told you, today's a day of new beginnings. Today could be the day that you become a Christian. Oh, we would love to see that. Everything is prepared. Leave those burdens. We talked about carrying those burdens in. Leave them at the door. Become a Christian by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that watery grave. Come out a new creature alive in Christ. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. Why not become a Christian? Your Christian friend, you continue to walk in the steps of the Savior. And if you've gotten out of line, repent of those sins and you will be restored. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about how God is the Word. But until then, I think this lesson will suffice. Let this be your day of new beginnings, or the day you get back on track. Respond to the Lord's invitation. Would you let it be known while we stand and while we sing?